Chapter 10. The town hall, the size of a large conference room at best, was standing room only by the time we got there. The population of the town had outgrown the available space years ago, but the council refused to hold their open forums anywhere else. Surprisingly, everyone was quietly listening to an older woman standing in front of her chair tell them of the dangers of a communicable virus. Fear was on nearly every face in the room. Irving was waiting for us and pulled us into the hallway.
"It's getting ridiculous in there,"
Veda snickered. "I can tell from the brief idiocracy I just heard coming out of that woman's mouth about diseases."
"Half of the town wants to shut everything down and ride it out, whatever it is. And the other half is up in arms about losing income from the tourists," Irving explained. "Problem is, tourists are canceling their trips already. So far, 4 flights to the island have been canceled just today. They have also canceled 2 boating excursions from nearby cruise ships. Regardless of whether we shut down or not, we are already getting hit financially by this craziness."
The severity of the town's reaction was a little shocking. "It's only been a few days," I replied. "That's pretty quick to be freaking out, isn't it?" Irving shrugged and shook his head.
"The reality is that some of these businesses could go under in less than a month without the tourist trade, and the other half don't want the tourists here anyway."
"Have you heard anything from the coroner?" I asked, hoping there was some more information for Veda to work with to calm the town down.
"Not a lot other than all of them having the IV marks on their arms. The toxin screens are still being processed," he answered.
Okay, Veda said, looking at the ground.
"Let me at them."
The fact that she'd mentally hyped herself up so quickly shocked all of us, but we were definitely going to take advantage of it. Irving took her arm and led her back into the room, straight to the front, and put his hands up, interrupting the woman speaking.
"I need everyone to quiet down for a moment," the detective called out. "You can go back to the public forum when we are done. Right now, I have an expert with some new information for you. Most of you know Veda Sellinson. She has a very educated insight to what is going on here."
Veda stared out at the silent crowd. Her face was emotionless, and she showed no sign of fear, even though Sophie and I knew she must be writhing inside. She took one deep breath, glanced at Irving, and nodded. Then she turned to address the town.
"There is zero sign that the passengers from the ship, who sadly lost their lives in our town square, are infected with any sort of communicable virus," she started.
"But they all just fell over dead! What else could do that?" a random townie called out, starting a murmur through the crowd.
"If you all will politely keep your mouths closed and your ears open, I will tell you," Veda replied, somehow without sounding offensive. The man was stunned and remained silent. Veda had officially captured the town's attention. Most of them knew Veda was quite possibly the most scientifically smart person on the island, but none of them realized she could be so commanding.
"Now, again, there is no evidence of an infection. In fact, there is evidence of quite the opposite, actually," she continued. "Not a single instance has been reported on the island of so much as a sniffle out of the ordinary."
She glanced at Irving to confirm her suspicion. He nodded, and she turned back to the town.
"The passengers have been off the ship for days. If a virus was involved, and it could be spread, we'd already have locals shriveling up and dying based on the time frame of the passengers' deaths."
She gave the attendees a moment to buzz amongst themselves, and then held her hands up to quiet them.
"My next point, the passengers showed no signs of symptoms involving any known illness prior to their deaths. Are the deaths strange? Yes. The suddenness of them is the most puzzling. But it is the quickness with which they died that points to a different issue than some virus."
Veda adjusted her glasses, allowing for a moment of silence to pass.
"That issue is currently being evaluated by the medical and scientific professionals of this town. You've trusted these people with your health and safety for years. There is no reason for you to doubt them now. In fact, there is no logic that would make sense to think that your professionals would do anything but keep you safe. You are worried about your businesses because you think tourists will no longer come here. Do you think it would be good business for the health professionals of this town to let you become ill and die? No. Veda paused, no doubt expecting some comment from the audience, but none came. After all, the logic she presented couldn't be argued. Plus, she'd used their own concerns as evidence to point out their own ignorance. She took another deep breath and let it out slowly.
Now that we have that out of the way, let's move on to the issue of the tourists. It is my understanding that businesses are suffering, or are going to suffer, from the reduced influx of tourism that seems to already have begun. Let's think about it for a minute. When the tourists are here, what do? You market to them, do you not? You do all in your power to get them to frequent your establishments, yes? Why not put on your thinking caps and find a way to market the strange occurrences to them now? Wouldn't it be logical to think an island with yet unexplained deaths would be appealing to some? Take a look at the ghost town tourism numbers around the world. People pay to go where deaths by supernatural occurrences have been reported for years. Without the fear of communicable disease, which we've already concluded doesn't apply here, don't you think you actually have an attraction to market instead of a market-killing occurrence?
Veda went quiet, waiting for someone to challenge her thinking. I looked down at Sophie, both of us stunned at Veda's use of marketing logic in her speech. She was the farthest person away from the world of marketing, yet had just given the most profitable advice anyone could have given. When nobody spoke up against her, she nodded at the crowd.
Now that we have the fear squelched and work to do to get patronage to our island back up to par, I think we are done here.
She didn't wait for questions or remarks before leaving the front of the room and walking back to Sophie and me. Detective Irving smiled as he watched her leave, knowing he'd made the absolute right decision having her address the town. When she made it to where Sophie and I were standing, she just kept walking, heading directly towards the door. We followed her out of the building and across the parking lot until she stopped outside the van.
I think I'm going to throw up,
Veda moaned.
Oh, no, I said, immediately rubbing her back. You were amazing in there.
I don't remember what I said,
she replied. Her face was still expressionless, but it was turning paler by the moment.
Here, get in. Sit down and relax for a minute, I urged. This will pass. I have some water inside.
I opened the passenger door for her and helped her into the seat. Closing the door, I rushed to the other side, let Sophie in, then got in the driver's seat. Veda leaned her head back on the seat and let out a sigh.
Promise me I never have to do that again.
If it were up to me, I would.
You need to know that you did a stunning job in there, though. The entire town was smacked in the face. Yet you made it sound hopeful somehow, I told her quietly. Thank you. I wish I could remember,
she replied, and then started giggling. Thankful as I was that she was suddenly smiling, the quickness of her change in mood was concerning.
Are you okay?
Veda started to outright laugh.
Yeah, I'm fine. This is an unexplained emotional response to a traumatic event.
Sophie barked, and I could hear her voice laughing in my mind.
Only Veda could still be analyzing at a time like this.
I wasn't sure if I should be concerned about what she was going through, but I wanted to keep her on the upswing of her emotional response, so I started laughing with her.
Your emotions have a quick rebound ratio, I told her. I love it. You'll have to teach me how to do that next time I get upset about something.
Veda's laughter let up a little, but not much.
If only it was something that could be taught, I'd make a fortune.
I can see the headlines now. Brilliant scientist develops technique for guaranteed positive emotional reaction to trauma. Pulitzer Prize contender for sure.
She stopped laughing immediately, and a sense of dread washed over me. The last thing I'd intended was to ruin her mood. She looked at me, very serious.
That's not a bad idea.
What? I asked, not keeping up. I'm going to do a study and perhaps come up with a way to help trauma victims. Well, maybe not serious trauma victims, but those with strong negative emotional responses to unnerving situations.
She was smiling again.
Sophie barked again. She's going to make a killing in the public speech sector with something like that.
Sophie suggests that you use that to make a fortune helping people who want to be public speakers, I relayed the message.
Hey, that's a great idea, Soph, Veda replied.
She reached in her bag, which was tucked under the seat, and pulled out a tablet. She immediately went to work typing away. It took her less than 2 seconds to fall completely into a zone that both Sophie and I knew was impenetrable. Smiling, I started the van, getting ready to head back to the apartment. My phone ringing in my pocket stopped me. I pulled it out and answered, "Hello?"
"It's Freya. Can you all come down to the agency? We have more calls coming in than we can handle,"
she panted, obviously stressed. "Let me guess, cancellations?" I asked.
"How did you know?"
She sounded shocked. "Just got done with the town meeting. Irving asked Veda to speak against the rumors of a virus outbreak," I told her.
"Veda? Speaking to the town? Did she throw up?"
Freya's concern was genuine.
"No, quite the opposite, actually. She killed it.
We'll tell you about it when we get there," I said. "See you in 10.
"See ya," she replied and hung up. I turned to Veda and Sophie.
"We are going to the agency. While the town may feel better about business prospects, it seems Freya is inundated with cancellation calls and needs some help."
"I'll shift," Sophie said to my mind. "After hearing Veda's speech, I'm positive we can get those cancellations rebooked."
Veda was ignoring both of us completely, silently lost in her world of research. By the time she looked up from her tablet, we were pulling into the parking lot in front of Freya's travel agency.
"Why are we here?"
Sophie, in her human form by then, and I both busted out laughing.
"Come on," I said to Veda.
"I'll explain on the way in. You just solved a problem Freya is having and didn't even know it."